Alrighty. I knew this day was going to come at some point. And it's here, so. If I preach short, it's not because it's my first time. It's because I've learned under Evangelist Savinsky, so it's kind of happens. I'd like us, before we actually start the message, if we could all turn to Psalm 119 and verse 18. This is something I've heard a preacher do at Bill Rice a few years ago, and I really liked it. Once we get there, if we could all just read it together, I'll say the reference, and then if we can all read the verse. Psalm 119, verse 18. Oh, sorry. All right, here we go. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of my law. Is that what your prayer is as we listen to this message? I hope it is. All right, so now the actual verse that we're starting off in is Matthew 9:37. Matthew 9, verse 37. This is kind of a testimony as well. While I was in West Branch, I was kind of wondering what I was going to preach on, and then I heard this passage, and it really kind of opened my eyes to the need that there is, and God was like, that's what you're supposed to preach. So here I am. All right, Matthew 9, verse 37. It says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as I begin this message today, I pray that you would remove me and fill me with you. Pray that I wouldn't preach anything that you don't want me to, that you would fill me and speak through me, God. I want to say exactly what you want me to, God. In your name I pray, amen. Alrighty, so first we see that we have an opportunity here. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous. So you guys notice, he doesn't say the fields are truly plenteous, because what he's saying is that while there are people who do need sowing and watering and reaping, he's saying there's so many people out there who are ready to hear. They're ready, they're waiting. One example is in Acts 8:26. If you turn there, Acts 8:26, it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So we see that the eunuch here, he's gone and he's searching. He's trying to find what to do. He's reading Isaiah and he doesn't understand it, and he needs somebody to, he says it right there, he needed somebody to show him. That also makes me wonder sometimes, how many times do we miss an opportunity? In verse 29, it says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. How many times have we felt the Spirit of God point at somebody? We're in McDonald's and somebody's just sitting there drinking a milkshake. We see them, we think, oh, I should tell them the gospel. And then we're like, maybe they'll like get mad, or I'm kind of scared, or I'm busy. It just makes me think, how many missed opportunities have we had? While I was in Arizona, the town close to Flagstaff was Williams. And a little bit after hearing this passage, I was walking around and I was looking for opportunities to witness to somebody. I saw a man there. He was just standing there. It looked like he wasn't doing anything. He was just waiting. And God was like, that's the man. And so I'm like, okay. And I went to go, and then I'm like, I got scared. And then so I started doing laps. And I did a lap, and it was, and then I did another lap. And finally, I was like, okay, I just got to do it. And so I walked up to the man, and I started, so I asked him some of the preliminary questions. And he believed that, or he thought he believed, he wasn't sure, that somebody could go to heaven if they worked hard enough. And I asked him, you don't have to ask him, but I asked him, do you believe the Bible? And he said, yes. He's like, and I was like, do you believe that God is holy? And he said, yes. And then I showed him from the Bible where it says that if you sin, then you are going to hell and works cannot get you to heaven. And then he said, like, that's a bummer. Like, that means everybody's going to go to hell. And I'm like, yeah. And I was about to turn it to the good news of the gospel when his family came up and he had to go. He went off with his family, and I wasn't able to share with him the good news because I had waited and chickened out. And I pray that that man, that somebody tells him, but that was an opportunity I missed. Jesus also says, the harvest, it truly is plenteous. That means there's more than just like one guy, one girl out there who's ready. There's tons of people out there waiting to hear. Sometimes I wonder, are we just annoyed by people? Like you're just going through Walmart, you need to check out, and then the person in front of you starts couponing, and then you're like, your first thought isn't I need to share the gospel with this person. It's like, oh, why is this person here and being old? It's just kind of sad to think that we sometimes think about people like that. We can see Jesus' reaction in Matthew 14:13. Matthew 14:13, John the Baptist, he had just been beheaded by Herod, and Jesus hears the news, and it says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and left because he was annoyed and he wanted to grieve. No, he was moved with compassion towards them and he healed their sick. Like, if anybody has a good reason to be annoyed, it's if you're grieving the loss of a cousin. Jesus comes apart, and then people just come after him, and he doesn't hide more. He goes out and he preaches to them and heals them. Another place is Matthew 12:15, just a few pages over. It says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." I think of this, and I'm really, like, wow. Like, whenever, I enjoy being with people a lot. I like being with people, having fun. But after a little while, I get a little peopled out. And then I just kind of want to, like, go back into my room and sit or something like that. And Jesus was getting thronged by multitudes, like, almost all the time. You're reading through the Gospels, and there's people everywhere. And Jesus never, I'm sure he gets tired of them, but he never refuses them. He always sees the multitude and is moved with compassion. And that's just such a good lesson to me, especially. I don't think like that. He knew that there are so few laborers to tell. So first we see there's an opportunity. And then second, we see there's a need. And he says, the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Study in like 2022 or something like that showed that in North Carolina, part of the Bible Belt, only 48% of the people even claim to be religious. So that isn't even like fundamental Baptist. They're just like, yeah, no, I'm religious kind of thing. And so even a smaller group of them are actually Bible-believing saved. And how are they going to hear? How are the people who are unsaved going to hear if we never stop to tell them? Again, with the Walmart illustrations, whenever I go shopping or somewhere, I like to run in, grab my thing, run to the self-checkout, because there's couponers out there. Run to the self-checkout, boop, and then run out to the car and get out of there, because I just don't want to be in shopping place. But there's so many people out there. There's so many opportunities. And if we never stop to look at the opportunities, how will they hear? Luke 2:49. Is when Mary, Joseph, and Jesus have gone to the Passover, and they do their stuff, and then they start to leave, and then the classic, oh, he's with you, no, he's with you, happens, and Jesus gets left behind. Well, when Mary and Joseph come back, they find Jesus with religious leaders preaching to them, teaching. And he says, or when they ask him about it, he says, oh, well, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? What is our Father's business? What does God want us to do? Why don't we, when we get saved, why don't we just go like straight up to heaven? Like we get saved and we teleport up there. It's because we're here to tell other people so they can go to heaven. It's our job. God didn't write in the sky. God didn't send angels. That'd be kind of cool. But it's our job. And if we don't do it, then nobody will. We see that we have an opportunity. We say we have a need. And then we see our command. God tells us, pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth more labors to his harvest. I think of what we do with the missionaries there. That's so good. It helps me to even like be thinking about our missionaries, be reading their prayer cards. But also, do we pray that more missionaries will go? Do we think, or do we just think, okay, we have missionaries and I pray for them, so we're good? Or do we actually constantly think, we need more laborers out there? And also, along with praying, therefore, are we willing to go? Because we're praying to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth more laborers, and what if he points us? He's like, you go. Are we willing to go? Let's look at Mark 16. It's just a few pages over. It's the verse that has the Great Commission. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I should probably say this, but what I'm saying is not that we all need to go out into missions. We still need people back behind who will support and pray for the missionaries going out. But I think about our neighbors, the people in our neighborhood, the city, America. That's part of the world, right? And for us who stay, it's our job to go out into all the world, our area around us, and preach. God wants us to. It's our calling. How many times I'm thinking, all right, I did my faith promise or something, I supported a missionary, and so I'm good. I can sit around or something like that. But that's not what God wants us to do at all. He wants us to go out and tell people. So we just see that we do have an opportunity. There are so many harvests. There's a harvest out there, and it truly is plenteous. There is a need. There's so many people out there who we need to tell, and there's a command, and we need to go out and tell them. Dear Lord, I pray that you would continue working in my heart about this message. Lord, I've not been what I need to be when it comes to telling people about you, God. I pray you'd forgive me for that. And I pray you'd continue to stir me. In your name I pray, amen.